Now, we have been working our way through 1 Peter. We're actually into chapter 3. We're just going to look at a few verses today. And what we're looking at is this whole issue of, yes, you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Yes, you realize that there is something for you later on where you're going to be with the Lord. But right now, in the meantime, you're here in this world. You're living in this world. You're working. You're doing whatever. You're in your family groups or whatever. But in the meantime, you're here. How are you supposed to live while you're here? And we've been looking at that as we've gone through this passage. Now, in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, which is where we were a few weeks ago, he was telling us that we needed to live honorably before unbelievers. We need to live in such a way that would bring honor to God to unbelievers. And so over the last few weeks, we've looked in the following verses after that. He talked about how we're to live with respect to our government and in society. He talked about how we're to live in an unfair world as far as the frame of reference of those being slaves, how they were to live in an unfair world that they were to live in. We even talked about last week about how we're to live in our marriages, and that is we're to live honorably before unbelievers, even in our marriages. Now, he's going to kind of wrap it up in verses 8 to 12 to talk about how we're to live with others. Because the fact of the matter is you live with others. Nobody here is an island to themselves. If you were an island to themselves, you wouldn't even be here today. You wouldn't have interaction with anybody. But the fact of the matter is you're a relational being and you interact with people every day, whether it's family, whether it's people you work with, whether it's the clerk at Walmart, guy who pumps your gas or takes your money at the gas station or whatever. You interact with people all the time. And because you are a follower of Jesus, because you're a believer in him and you're here just for the moment, you're to live your life for him. You got to know, how do I live with others? And specifically, he's going to talk about two groups of others. He's going to talk about those who are believers. How do you live with other people who call on the name of Jesus? And then how do you live with the rest of the world? And we're going to see that here in this passage. So if you have your Bible, it's up on the screen. We're going to look at verses 8 through 12. So look at what he says in verse 8. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord is on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. What we're going to do, folks, is we're going to take these verses and we're going to divide them into two sections. We're going to look at one verse, verse 8, and talk about how we are to be with each other, with believers. And that's very important. And then we're going to look at verses 9 to 12, and we're going to talk about how we are to be towards the rest of the world. So let's talk about how we are to be with each other as believers. You say, well, George, I already know that. We're supposed to love each other. Well, yeah, we're to love each other, but there's a little bit more meat to it than just simply saying we're to love each other. Because here's what can happen. We can come together in church, and for the moment, we could say to each other, oh, I love you. I love you in Jesus. Oh, I love you. Kissy, kissy. But leave here, get in the car, and you're like, do you believe how they acted towards me today? Can you believe that she wore that? It's the same dress that I'm wearing. I was hiding under the pew because of that. Yes, ladies, you do think that way. Guys could wear the same shirt. We couldn't even care less. We'd say, hey, yours doesn't even have a stain on it. Wonderful. Right? Isn't that what we do? So loving the brothers or sisters in Christ is not just a statement that we make. There has to be some meat to it. There has to be some actions there, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to see that here in verse 8. In fact, look with me again at verse 8, because he says five things here. This is what's interesting. Five things that you and I need to be doing with each other. Listen to what the five are. Verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Now let's look at these five things. Here's the first one. We're called to live in harmony with each other. We're called to live in harmony with each other. First thing he says in verse 8 is be of one mind. Now, as soon as I say that, many people assume that means that I need to think like the guy across the aisle from me, that we need to think the same way. No, seriously. In a room this size, I can almost guarantee you that you have differing opinions on differing things. So some of you are for the Steelers. Then there are a few of you who are for other teams, right? And you tolerate each other in the love of Jesus, right? Isn't that true? But you're not, like, obviously Bruce knows what team he every time he comes, he has it on, okay? If I were to say to him, Bruce, are you going to embrace the Steelers? His comment would be what? No. Now, the rest of you would say, why? That's the only team. Well, he thinks the only team is the one he's wearing this morning, okay? Which, by the way, he'll say won the Super Bowl last time, okay? He's an Eagles fan. All right. But here's the point. All right, that's one we laugh about, but what about politics? That's tearing our nation apart right now. Can't help but see that. Politics is tearing our nation. So maybe you're here and you're very much a Democrat. Wonderful. If you're very much here, you might be a Republican. Wonderful. You might be here and you're a nobody. There are those, right? And the problem is, does that mean being of one mind that I need to agree with each other? Because that's not going to happen. Does everybody recognize that that's not going to happen? I mean, you could even be from the same party and not agree with each other, right? That's not what he's talking about. When he talks about being of one mind, he's really actually, as some of the translations bring out, he's talking about living in harmony with each other. Now, what does that mean? Well, one of the things is we tolerate each other. Do you understand what I'm saying? We tolerate each other's viewpoints and positions. We try to live in harmony with each other. Now, what guides us in that harmony and living with each other is the one thing that we all share, which is what, folks? Jesus. He's the basis of our unity. It's not our politics. It's not what team we root for. It's not even what part of the county you live in. It has to do with what? Jesus. So he says, if I'm going to honor God before unbelievers, I need to live in harmony with each other, with other believers, with other followers of Christ. Fact, folks, isn't that what Jesus was saying? This is why it's so important. John, he says this, by this shall they know that you are my disciples, by your what? Love for one another. You want to know how you love one another? First of all, you live in harmony with each other. The basis of our unity is always who? Jesus. Jesus. Here's the second thing he says. Look with me at verse 8. Look again. Here's what he says. He says, of course, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Some translations talk about having sympathy for one another. So here's what I want you to see. Second thing, if we're going to express love for one another, it's got to be practical. It's got to be real. It's got to be more than just words. Because we can sit here all day and tell each other, well, I love you, but not do anything for each other. Here's what it is. We must be sympathetic and willing to share in the needs of others. We must be sympathetic and willing to share in the needs of others. That's what he's talking about here. When we talk about being compassionate, what the New King James says, we're talking about love in action. And it means that I'm going to sympathize with what's going on in your life. And I'm going to share in your needs. Do you understand? Now, as soon as I say that, well, that means I've got to open my wallet. No, not necessarily. If that's the way you view things, you're always going to view things that way, and you're going to miss out, because sometimes sharing in needs is not necessarily opening your wallet. A lot of times it may be, but a lot of times it may simply be what? Being there and helping them in some way. But in order for that to take place, you need to be sympathetic towards them. Do you understand? You need to be sympathetic towards them. So let me just go ahead and say this. We come in here Sunday after Sunday. We gather for worship. We sing songs. We slap each other's backs. We high-five each other. We smile. But the reality is maybe you're not aware of it, but would you be shocked to know that there might be a portion of the folks here who are going through something, who are wondering how they're going to get through it, who are dealing with stuff that they don't know how to deal with, and they're just putting on a smile because that's what you're supposed to do when you come to church. But the reality is that there are people sitting right around you that are what? Hurting. Who are trying to cope. Who just want to know that somebody, what? Cares. And see, what Peter is saying to us here is not just that we live in harmony with each other, but that we're sympathetic towards each other, that we are willing to share in their needs. So let me ask you a question. When you walked in here this morning, were you looking for how somebody was going to minister to you? Or were you walking in here this morning with an eye to what the needs are around you and how can you help somebody in the midst of what they're going through? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if you came in here looking for some kind of a blessing, I'm going to tell you, after a while, you're going to be disappointed. But if you came in here to be a blessing to somebody, you might be shocked at what God will show you about how you can minister to somebody. Because whether you realize it or not, right around you, I can almost guarantee you, in the proximity of where you're sitting is somebody with a need who needs to know that they're loved. And if we're going to live honorably before unbelievers, and if we're going to show them that we love each other, we got to put some word, we got to put some feet to it, don't we? Not just words. Here's the third thing. Look with me at the passage. It's not just being compassionate, that is having sympathy for each other. Look at verse 8. Love as brothers. Love as brothers. Okay, what's he talking about here? Well, we must love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We must love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean being sappy with each other? No, not at all. I think you know what it means. I think if you really thought about it for a moment, you would understand it. So let me ask you a question. Who's your closest friend in your life? Now, guys don't like to say they love each other because that's weird, right? However, I can tell you right now, there's some men in my life that I would say, I love them. They're my friends. Did you understand what I'm saying? And I love them because they're there for me. And I will be there for them. That's what we're talking, that's the kind of, it's, the word here actually is, we have a city name for it in Pennsylvania, it's Philadelphia, brotherly love. That's what he's talking about here, phileo. He's talking about a brotherly love. He says, for, as believers, we don't just live in harmony with each other. We don't just have sympathy towards each other. We love each other with a brotherly love. Do you understand? And so we're to love.